You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Evan Dash.
We decided that we were going to build a family, and our work family, our work team, it is our family now. And they are our extended family, and they are all part of Dash. And they don't necessarily carry our last name, but they embody everything that the brand is.
Evan is the founder and CEO of Storebound and creator of the Dash brand of kitchen electrics. He previously was the SVP and general merchandise manager for the home business at Macy's and served two terms on the board of directors of the International Housewares Association. He has two teenage sons and lives in New York City with his wife, Rachel. Evan, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks so much, Nick. Great to be here.
So I am excited to chat, and you know, this is of course an audio medium, and we're going to make people go to the internet and look and see what I'm talking about. But I get all sorts of brand builder headshots, and yours made me excited to talk to you because I'm a bit of a fan of cooking. I'm our chef here at home. And there is a picture of you in an apron holding a kitchen gadget. And I thought, yes, I want to know more.
Yeah, not too many people get excited about my picture. So that's great to hear.
Well, you know, it looked like, and the other thing that is visual that I should have showed you when we were on camera earlier, as proof of being a bit of a kitchen fiend proof that things like the gadget that you're holding would excite me. I have bandages on two of my fingers right now because I'm that handy in the kitchen.
I know the feeling well.
So for those that have thought, okay, they're talking about all sorts of things we can't see, tell us a bit about Storebound and the Dash brand.
So my wife, Rachel, and I both worked in big retailers. I worked most recently at Macy's. She worked at Bed Bath & Beyond. And we both loved the category of products around the kitchen. And we started our own company back in 2010 called Storebound. And in around 2012, we launched the Dash brand. And we kind of at the time begrudgingly put our last name out there as the brand, which was an interesting story in and of itself. And we've become one of the fastest growing brands in our industry since then.
So that is a great place to start too on the brand. Talk about your name versus the brand name and kind of the, I guess, pun intended, marriage thereof.
Yeah, absolutely. So the parent company is called Storebound. And when we started the company, we had worked in big corporations, and we really wanted to make a go of it for ourselves. And we knew we wanted to sell home products. And initially, we went out and we felt as though we needed to license brands in order to do that successfully, because we just knew the magic of a brand. We also didn't think that we could just take a name out of nowhere and create a brand around it, because we were bootstrapping the business. It was a startup and we were doing it for ourselves, and we didn't have a large marketing budget. So we felt that the prospects of being able to build a brand and do it in a short period of time was not something that would be feasible. So we entered into some licensing deals initially, and we stumbled on some ideas for small kitchen appliances. And we basically instructed our team, figure out what the brand is going to be. And we went through a six-month process of trying to figure out a brand name. And of course, any name that was catchy, we couldn't get anything even close to a reasonable URL or buy one for, you know, less than six figures, which wasn't in the cards at the time. And our designers and marketing team at the time kept saying, what about using your last name? It sounds kind of like a kitchen product and Dash or this, Dash or that. And we shut it down immediately because celebrity chefs were all over the scene and we just didn't want to be associated personally with the brand. And Rachel and I went on a trip to Asia to do product sourcing and we left instructions that you guys have 2 weeks. We need to figure it out because we're going to have products going into the market soon. And lo and behold, we came back and they said, we've got it figured out. And they sat us down and they went through this whole stop motion, just beautiful presentation. And it came on with music and it said, a dash of color, a dash of flavor, healthy food and a dash. And I guess it was the jet lag at the time, but we were just sick of fighting about it. So we said, you know what? Sounds really, I think it works. And they, you know, they made the comment, disassociate yourselves from the brand. You know, it's not a personality brand. It's just a great name for the kitchen. So I called my IP attorney and he said, that's great. You've got some built-in rights to it with it being your last name. And we made the decision that day to move forward with it.
That is an awesome story for all the different reasons that that you note there, and also as someone that has started businesses and some that have had my name at various stages, from a Westergaard to a Dash, I would say, yeah, you've got a lot going for you there. That's a little bit different than, you know, what we all struggle with of putting our name on something. That's kind of built in, especially for what you do. But talk about in terms of developing the meaning behind that brand, because that's another thing. I love the advice of disassociate yourself, especially if it's your name. But how do you, in building out that brand, create meaning around it that is maybe independent of you, maybe it's related to you, but where does the brand start and stop?
That's such a great question. And I love talking about this because when we stumbled into this, we didn't know about branding. We didn't have real formal training in branding. We just knew how important it would be. And what we felt was that we're going to have to be out there selling the products and selling the brand. And we had to feel passionately about it. So we wanted the products and the messaging to really resonate with us. And what that really turned into was that we decided that we were going to build a family. And our work family, our work team, it is our family now. And there are our extended family, and they are all part of Dash. And they don't necessarily carry our last name, but they embody everything that the brand is. So we knew that if we were going to be successful, we had to do this really authentically. So we built a brand voice, and we built messaging. And it's interesting because at the time when we started out, there was a gold rush into the wellness economy. And when you think about this over $4 trillion economy of wellness products that go all across food and sleep aids and athletic apparel and athletic equipment and gym equipment and fitness and supplements and all these things, they're just an absolute gold rush of brands going into wellness type products. And we trademarked the name or the tagline, unprocess your food. That's kind of morphed into eat good, feel good. And we had this great simple messaging, but we were the only brand in the food prep space, in hard goods food prep for kitchenware that was actually focused on healthy. So for us, that became a rallying point and became our voice. So we wanted to bring people on the team who would share that brand DNA with us and come into our families. So people who cared about themselves, people who cared about their families, people who cared about their coworkers, people who had an interest in kitchen products, people that loved our messaging around just the concept of eating less things from bags and boxes that were processed and more things that were real food. And that led us into this team of authentic people that embody the brand. And because we embody the brand, everything that we do, everything that we touch, everything that we create really screams that to the end user. And then on top of that, we had this mindset that if we were fortunate enough to have consumers actually just take a chance on us and purchase our products, we wanted to make sure that they absolutely fell in love with us. So we developed this mission of winning hearts. And we always say we want to win the hearts of the people we work with. We want to win the hearts of our retail customers. But most of all, we really want to win the hearts of the consumers. Have them buy products that work really well, that function exactly the way that they're supposed to, that are simple to use, that aren't confusing, that truly enrich their lives, and then give them content to help inspire them to make healthy food at home.
I love the story behind all of that. And you talked a bit about brand voice. How is that shared internally? How do you keep everyone on the same page for how the brand is supposed to sound?
You know, we just talk about it all the time. And one of the things that we understood from the beginning was that the content that we produce would be as important, if not even more important, than the products that we produce. So the fact that we set ourselves up more like a digital agency than a product development company, you know, we're competing against all these old stodgy brands selling the stuff that's on your countertop. And we were selling much more of a story of, instead of selling an egg cooker, which is one of our best-selling products, we sell healthy breakfast fast. And we talk about everything that way, and we keep the consumer front and center in all of our conversations. We test the products a lot. We use the products, but we're just constantly engaged with the content that we're producing for the marketplace to make sure that the consumer falls in love with us. And because we're embodying that and we're living it every single day, it's just really become part of the DNA.
Hey, On Brand listeners. We talk about a lot of brand building topics here on the show, from developing strong brands to brand stories to building engaged superfans for your brand, both internally and externally. If these are topics that you're working through or struggling with, I'd love to help. I regularly schedule one-time or ongoing brand coaching sessions with clients based on their unique needs. Are you building a new brand? I'd love to help. Struggling with rebranding? I'd love to help. Do you want to create an engaged community around your brand? I'd love to... You get the idea. I've worked with clients of all shapes and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses and startups. I've also interviewed hundreds of experts right here on the On Brand podcast and written 2 books. I can apply all of this to the challenges that you're struggling with. To learn more about working personally with me, Nick Westergaard, go to nickwestergaard.com, that's Westergaard with 2 A's, or email me at nick@branddrivendigital.com. Now back to the show. So one thing that is kind of fascinating in what you just said was you talked about not selling an egg cooker, that you're selling healthy breakfast fast. This feels like it's sort of classic marketing in terms of instead of selling the gadget, that you're instead of selling the feature, you're selling the benefit.
Absolutely. I mean, really, that's what it's got to be about. If somebody's going to buy something, it's not about you. It's about them. It's about what they're going to get from it. And that really takes me back to close to the beginning when we were deciding, okay, we have this brand now. We've got beautiful creative and packaging and the design language. But how do we really get it out there? And we looked at what all of our competitors were doing, and they were on social media in a big way and running advertising campaigns. And we didn't have a mountain of marketing dollars. So we decided that creating content for social media would be the best way to go. So we set up on Instagram initially with the handle Unprocess Your Food. And we started creating content. And where all of our competitors were, their posts all fit a certain formula. Their formula or what they were posting was, look at this new product. Look at this new color. Look at our packaging. Look at us at the Food and Wine Festival. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. I mean, over and over. And for the consumer, we were smart enough to know that the consumer just doesn't care about us. We've done nothing to make them care about us. So if we care about them instead and give them something useful, maybe they'll do the most powerful thing for us, which would just be to take their thumb and press that follow button. So while our competitors were saying, look at us, we were saying, here's a healthy recipe. Here's a healthy recipe. We will show you that healthy can be delicious. And we were giving health tips and inspiration. And we were using our products, but we weren't trying to sell our products. And we weren't screaming out about the products. But there was so much that was happening in the comments and so much engagement with consumers. And that's how we really built this authentic following. And from there, it kind of, you know, there's so many things that just fell into place really well. The fact that we were doing it so authentically and our messaging was so positive and so useful and so consumer-centric really got younger consumers who were socially fluent to fall in love with us. And at the time, it was, I think, an advantage that we were not the brand that was on their parents' countertop. We were something new to be discovered. We became social currency with something to discover, something to share, something to be in the know. And that even rolled over into our retail distribution, where I have two college age boys, and they were, you know, young teenagers at the time, and they didn't think that anything that I did was cool. And as soon as we got picked up into Urban Outfitters and put Urban Outfitters into the kitchen appliance business, all of a sudden they're like, wow, Dad is doing some really cool stuff. So, you know, all of those things really helped to shape the brand and the way that we resonate in the marketplace. And so many things fell into place, but none of those things would have fallen into place had we not been, I guess, adept enough to understand and honest enough with ourselves to understand that the consumers wouldn't care about us until we proved that we care about them.
Well, and I think the other thing, we've talked a lot about story, and I think that the other thing that you did that was really smart in there that I think is a lesson that folks listening can take from this and learn is you mentioned everyone else's posts that were about, look at us, look at our new packaging. And what you're talking about is fascinating because the approach is, I think a lot of times when we say story, people, businesses, brands think about me. What's my story? What am I doing? As opposed to making their customer the star of that story and talking about their lives, talking about what they need, you know, the talking about healthy breakfast fast and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we knew that that story would be so important and that we just had to win hearts. And that is something that we talk about every single day and keeping people focused on that simple mission of winning hearts and telling them, if you're doing work and wondering, how is this connected to winning hearts? Stop. Ask somebody, because if it's not connected to winning hearts, we've got too much going on and not enough bandwidth with the way that we're growing. We probably want to have you shift and work on something else.
Well, and I love that because to my earlier point of how do you share, you know, brand voice, but sharing that mission, I think that's great for making all of your people a part of your brand building efforts too, because that's a real simple kind of divining rod, litmus test to say, what does this have to do with that? And if that's not an easy answer, if those dots don't connect themselves, then, like you said, that could be potentially a red flag.
Absolutely. I mean, it everything that we do has to be rooted in consistency, and that's a big challenge when you're running a business that's growing at the rate that we're growing. I mean, we were just on the Crain's Fast 50 list for fastest growing businesses in New York. On there with a number of other iconic brands. We've been on the INC list of fastest growing businesses the last several years. So, I mean, we are absolutely wrestling with growing pains every single day. And the one thing that just helps us break through everything is keeping that consistency, keeping everybody focused on the simple messaging and focused on that mission while we work to solve the problems, and creating a positive environment where everybody can do that together.
So is winning hearts different right now? I think, you know, I just bought a new set of knives, which is why I'm as bandaged as I am, because those suckers are sharp. But it's because I love being in the kitchen. I love cooking, and I'm kind of reinvesting in my little world in there that I can control in spite of the pandemic. And I think, you know, as I look at all of these, I'm very connected to my kitchen brands, and the ones that I'm not, I'm actually looking at replacing with things that I am connected to. And I feel like, anecdotally, I feel like it's a function of where we're at right now in the midst of this pandemic.
Yeah, I truly believe that. And I mean, I look back on my career, and I've had so much luck along the way. And I think luck's done more for me than any bit of business acumen that I've brought to the table. And with this pandemic, you know, we were fortunate to be in a product category that is still robust, because more people are cooking at home than ever before. And so we have some natural winds at our back that's helping with our momentum, but we're still playing in an industry where it's very much a market share game. And one of the things that's always been frightening to me is that when you take platforms like Amazon, anybody can be a brand. Anybody can launch a brand and position themselves any way that they want and connect with the consumer. And there becomes very little barrier to entry into the marketplace. And what you just articulated is something that we're seeing happen so often, because you have these fly-by-night so-called brands that pop up and they're selling product at a price that's too good to be true. They don't really understand the customer. It's all about getting the sale at that moment. And we see so many people who are trading up to our products. And our prices aren't a major premium in the market. We sell great value. But there's so much inferior stuff. And we look at anything that comes in contact with food, anything that has a blade, anything that has a motor, anything with heating element. I mean, we take the responsibility to the consumer really, really seriously. So it amazes me that the consumer is willing to try products that have some inherent danger when there's not a brand that they trust behind it, only based on price. And then I believe that we really reap the rewards when they get, you know, when they get burned, no pun intended. But that's something that's really, I think, helped our business. And that's why it's, I think, so important to really stick to those brand pillars and the consistency and the execution and the quality, all those things that consumers come to rely on that have all just added to the value of our brand.
I should be clear in talking about customers getting burned, et cetera, that on my end, it was definitely user error. So you give a clumsy cook a sharp knife, and all sorts of dangerous things can happen. So as I love that you said too, in talking about anybody can be a brand on Amazon, it's kind of like the big store that anybody can be hooked up to. So how do you talked a bit about, you know, what you're doing internally, but what external things do you do to give the customer the touch points they need to know that they're buying something from someone that takes it seriously, as you just noted?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, that used to be something that I think you really controlled as a brand, and the brands controlled the conversation. Now it's the consumer that controls the conversation. And where back when I first got into this business in kitchenware, everything was about the celebrity chefs and spokespeople and somebody who brought this enormous sense of credibility. For us, what we've really done is, I think, a couple of things. Number one is we focus tremendously on the user experience, knowing that if the user has a great experience, they will praise us. They'll give us 5-star reviews. And we have over 250,000 5-star reviews, I think, over the last 12 months. Those 5 stars mean more than anything that any spokesperson is going to say. The other thing that we've done is we've taken a page out of the fashion industry's playbook, where the fashion industry, there's so many brands doing these amazing collaborations and mashups and putting brands together that you would just never expect to see on the same product at the same time. I mean, just really creating a lot of excitement with capsule collections. So we've done partnerships like that. We've partnered with any range of people from Iron Chefs to really cool influencers to other big brands. So we've done a program this year with the big media company Delish. They have over 20 million social media followers. They're part of Hearst Publication. And we created a co-brand, Delish by Dash. And we put it on a great new mixer in really fun colors. And we created great content together. And we marketed it and they marketed it. And it was so different than just going out and licensing a brand. It was bringing this this formula together of, you know, 1 + 1 = 3, 4 or more. You know, where the sum is greater than the individual value of the parts. And we did that with this year with WW, which was formerly Weight Watchers. We did WW by Dash, and we added value to those products by working with them to actually include recipes that have the point value system built into it, so that their millions of subscribers and members can actually use our products with content that is super relevant to them. So again, it's another great solution for them that's not just buy this product. It's a whole solution. So I think those things have really played into our voice in a big way.
That's great. I love big WW fans over here, so I'll definitely have to check that out. But I think that's so important, because as you were walking through that and starting with the celebrity side of things, I think the other challenge is consumers are so savvy today. I mean, I know I'm talking about a biased focus group of one being me, but I know when I see something that has a celebrity on it, especially in the cooking space, I think, oh, now, wait a minute, did they just stamp something on here? Because it seems like everybody does that. And, you know, really, really kicking the tires to see if folks have forged those deep partnerships. Because I think anybody can do that quick co-branding. But like you said, that co-development of the kind of intermingling of what those two brands that you mentioned were about and what it is important, because it has to pass that tire kick.
Absolutely. And we are so selective about the partnerships that we enter into. One of the wonderful things about our business is that we're food related. So we get to work with a number of top chefs. So we have 2 Iron Chefs on our roster that we make product for, Jeffrey Zakarian and Alex Gernicelli. The two of them have the most incredible high-end culinary pedigree. They have been just at the top of the game in the restaurant world, and you don't get to that type of position by compromising. I mean, yeah. Both of them are completely uncompromising professionals, and it's such a breath of fresh air to work with people when we can go in and brainstorm product, and they have such a point of view and absolutely will not let their name touch something that isn't to their standards. So we love to partner with celebrities like that, where most of our industry would tend to shy away from those types of relationships, because they're a lot more work and a lot more challenging to satisfy people who have those types of standards.
That is so true. It's not the easy path by any stretch, but it's the one
for
that's
sure.
The most long-term rewarding. Evan, as we start to wrap up, we've talked about a lot of different brands and a lot of different emotions, cuts, burns, everything in between. What is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, this one I hesitate to say because it may spoil a birthday present, but my wife Rachel has a big birthday coming up this year, and I've been looking for something really special to get her. And I looked at Louis Vuitton, and their new campaign is so bright and so colorful, but there is no mistaking that it's them. And looking at it, I just found myself looking at just sitting and grinning ear to ear. I mean, the fashion brands and luxury brands make me smile a great deal, but nothing makes me smile more than looking at our own Instagram presence and seeing the content that our people create around our brand. I think they are absolutely brilliant marketers. They pour their heart and soul into it, and you just see it, and it makes me smile every time.
That is awesome. Well, here's what we're going to do. Usually, I put the smile into the show notes, and I'm going to reference something vague so that the birthday party would actually have to listen 28 minutes into the full episode. and as a spouse, as someone that has a spouse that I know doesn't listen to the different interviews that I do, or at least all the way 28, 29 minutes into it, we might safely leave it right in here.
That's perfect. I appreciate it.
Evan, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, they can find me on LinkedIn at just Evan Dash, and they can look at our website, bydash.com. It's bydash.com. And they can follow us on Instagram under the handles Unprocess Your Food and Bydash. Bydash is a brand new handle for us. It's growing like crazy. The content is amazing. And Unprocess Your Food has always been a great staple for followers in our industry.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Evan, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much, Nick. It was great talking to you.
And remember, if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.